are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here today for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. And today, let you guys know today's show is brought to you by the Locked On SEC podcast. There's only one place to get all the info you need on the SEC 5 days a week, and that's with Locked On SEC and Chris Gordy of Sports Radio 790. Follow Locked On SEC podcast on the Odyssey app and on Twitter as well. You can find it wherever you guys get your podcast. Go ahead and do that. Now, on today's show, a couple notes. Tragic passing of Colt Brennan is there to discuss in the college football world. We're all being rocked by that right now. And also, I'm going to discuss the news that Tim Tebow might sign with the Jaguars and then touch on the seventh round picks out of the Big 12 as well. So busy show today. Hope you guys enjoy. You hate to start off shows this way, and it feels like we've been doing this a lot recently, but we have to mention it. Today, Colt Brennan passed. If you guys don't, you know, might say, hey, who is that? Colt Brennan was the former Hawaii quarterback, Heisman Trophy finalist. And he was 37 years old when he passed away. I'm reading this from people.com, but his dad made some comments about this, and he died peacefully in the hospital. His father, Terry, said that he tried to check into a detox facility, but was turned away because it had no beds available. Brennan was 5 months into a six-month rehabilitation program when he was hospitalized after he ingested something laced with fentanyl and lost consciousness. He went peacefully. His father said that he listened to Bob Marley, and his sisters put a lay around him while he was unconscious, and they had Bob Marley playing while he passed. So that's obviously just some awful details right there about about how this transpired. I'd really like to talk about the impact that Colt Brennan had, just kind of on a lot of people who are my age. You know, I'm not too old, in my mid 20s, obviously. And Colt Brennan was a really important figure for a lot of people. You know, during his time in college, I mean, he was one of the most prolific passers in history. He went to Saddleback, which I believe is junior college. There he threw for 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He was able to make his way to Hawaii, where he threw for 35 touchdowns and 13 picks in his sophomore season in 2005. Then 2006, threw for 58 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. And then back in 2007, he threw for 38 touchdowns and he threw for 17 interceptions. All in all, 14,000 yards. Over 130 touchdowns, threw 131 in this career, threw for 42 interceptions. He ran for 15 touchdowns as well. It was a pretty big element, actually, of his game his senior year. He ran for 8 touchdowns. But for Colt Brennan, what a player. Heisman finalist back in the year 2007. He was a third-team All-American 2 times in 06 and 07, drafted by the Washington football team. Then the Washington Redskins back in 2008. He was a 6th-round pick, 186 overall pick in the draft. And, he played for Jim Zorn's team there in D.C. So a guy with a football legacy. And, Colt was there at a peak, when football was really getting popular. The NCAA football video game was huge back then, as, they're trying to make a comeback right now. But I just remember for a lot of people who are younger, Colt Brennan was important. Staying up late, watching Hawaii football games on Versus, whatever channel they would put them on, seeing him play. Guy was 6th in Heisman voting in 2006. And then 2007 was really, it's weird. It's actually one of his, not his best statistical season. That's when he was finishing in the Heisman voting. That's when he was, finished 3rd. So to see Colt Brennan perform was always a lot of fun. And really just to be the underdog, to watch that 2007 Hawaii team and them go and play in that Sugar Bowl in 2008, and do the haka dance and whatnot, was really inspiring stuff. And the reason why Colt Brennan was able to get to that point was because, of how good the team was, right? Of how important that it was. I mean, they started off year number 23 in the country. They had a wild overtime win against Louisiana Tech. And they just started rolling, 49-14 over UNLV, 66-10 over Charleston Southern, 48-20 over Idaho, 52-37 over Utah State, 42-35 over New Mexico State, 50-13 over New Mexico, 50-13 over New Mexico State, 42-35 over San Jose State, 37-30 over Fresno, 28-26 over Nevada, 39-27 over number 17 Boise. If you remember that game, you know, the game was on ESPN2, it was a huge game. The fact they're playing another nationally ranked team, and they got to play Washington and beat them 35-28 at Aloha Stadium as well. So, I mean, the guy was truly a superstar, and especially as they headed into that Georgia Bowl, you know, the Sugar Bowl against, against Georgia. It was such a huge moment. Atlanta Journal-Constitution had a weird article titled today that was not great, so you guys can go look at that if you want to, but that was not a good performance, generally speaking, what the Atlanta Journal-Constitution put out about Colt Brennan. But, yeah, Colt was an important player for me growing up. I actually got his jersey, not like his actual jersey, but I wanted to get a Colt Brennan Hawaii jersey, and was able to, my parents, you know, were able to custom make one, have that, and I was really excited about that because I loved Colt Brennan growing up. He was one of my favorite players to watch in college. I loved playing with him in the NCAA football video games. That was always a joy, you know, to try to take Hawaii all the way to a national championship game. That was always fun. So truly an impactful player that had, you know, like I just said, an impact on a lot of people. And we know, hope he rests in peace. It's really upsetting news, and a really important player for one of the all-time great college quarterbacks in terms of passing performance. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss the news about Tim Tebow potentially going to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Looks all but inevitable right now. We'll go check that out. Discuss that next. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Go to RockAuto.com today to find all the parts available for your car or truck from hundreds of manufacturers. RockAuto.com is a catalog and is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com today to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so you know what we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's RockAuto.com. You thought you could escape him. You could not. He is inevitable. It is Tim Tebow. So Tebow is back in the news and potentially might be playing tight end now. That's kind of the rumor, right? The big news circulating right now is that Tim Tebow is going to get, or already had his tryout with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they could be closing in on signing him. This is from Mike DeRocco of ESPN. It says the Jacksonville Jaguars are expected to sign the former University of Florida star in the next few weeks, reuniting him with his college head coach, Urban Meyer. He'll be a tight end, though not a quarterback, which means he'll be learning a new position 6 years after he last participated in an NFL practice with the Eagles in 2015. Moving to tight end was something NFL teams wanted Tebow to consider after he failed as an NFL quarterback, but Tebow was adamant at staying behind center. 9 years after he last played an NFL regular season game, he's willing to make the return now. So why is he willing to make the return? This also comes from Mike DeRocco. Tebow clearly wants to remain a pro athlete. Since the baseball thing with the New York Mets didn't work out, this is his best shot, mainly because of Urban Meyer. Meyer and Tebow won a pair of national titles together at Florida in 06 and 09, and they remain close, so it shouldn't be a surprise Meyer agreed when Tebow called and asked for a tryout earlier this year. It's hard to imagine many other NFL coaches or general managers would be willing to give a 33-year-old who hasn't been in the sport, any part of the league, the last 6 years, a tryout. What are Tebow's chances of making the team? Not great, says this article. He played tight end on a handful of snaps in the New York Jets back in 2012 and was not asked to block a linebacker or D lineman snap after snap, never caught a pass in college or the NFL. His only career NFL target is listed right here. And he's a very good athlete, but as we know this, he's starting from the bottom. Now he's got to build. So a couple things here. Number one, I'd like to say this, is that it appears to me that Tim Tebow feels very unfulfilled, right? This guy wants to be a pro athlete desperately. It's why, you know, he wanted to remain a quarterback back when he got drafted. He wanted to remain a, wanted to remain in professional sports. So he decided to go take up baseball and then go play the New York Mets in their minor league system. The Mets capitalized off that, selling a lot of Tebow merchandise, and Tebow sold his own bats and mitts and you know, batting gloves, all kind of things. This is a situation where, you know, it feels like he is just missing something, and now he wants to get back into football because the baseball thing is not working out. I believe, in my opinion, and I don't know Tim Tebow at all personally, but I think if you just kind of read the tea leaves here, this just shows that he is unfulfilled and he doesn't feel like he's gotten everything out of his professional sporting career that he thought he was going to. And so his reaction to that is that he is going to try to continue to be a professional athlete, and he's going to try to make this team. Now, here is the problem, and I'm going to look up free agency tight ends right now. Free agency tight ends in the NFL, and they have the list, and I'll go to all types, unrestricted free agent, all statuses available. All right, let's go to that. We'll update here. We're on SpotTrack. So guys that are available right now, and this is once again according to SpotTrack, Jesse James, a guy who's played tight end for a while, is available. Tyler Eifert right now is available. I'm even seeing an article right now when I Google search Tyler Eifert. Should they bring him in for interview? Josh Hill, Virgil Green, McCole Pruitt, Demetrius Harris, Jordan Reed, Luke Stocker, Trey Burton, Jeff Swaim, Ross Travis, Marcus Ball, Cole Wick, Jake Butt, Joshua Perkins, Parker Hesse, Sean Culkin just got cut yesterday, Connor Davis, Charles Jones, Jordan Leggett, Chase Harrell, even, you know, a guy like a Marcus Ball just got cut off Washington's roster, is available. There are so many guys who are available at this position that deserve a shot more than Tim Tebow. The big thing is, and we're discussing this today on Big 12 today on SiriusXM, is can you reasonably expect Tim Tebow to block anybody? Can he block a defensive end? Can he chip a linebacker? Can he do any of that stuff? Let alone can he catch? The first part of this position is, unless you're like Kyle Pitts and you're this outstanding freak, you can line up anywhere you want to, can you block? At least Kyle Pitts can probably try and block somewhat at all. Tim Tebow, guys and friends and, you know, women and men who are listening out there, Tim Tebow has not blocked anybody in his entire career, and he's going to have to do that. My question is this. This is a position of need for the Jaguars. Why in God's name, besides the fact that Urban Meyer is good friends with Timothy Tebow, are you bringing Tim Tebow in? There is absolutely no reason to bring this guy in right now besides that. Besides the fact that he is friends with Urban Meyer. And I'm reading now from the New York Post, and take it as you will. New York Post can be a little gimmicky sometimes, but it says few people in the NFL would have been more impressed by the Jaguars signing of tight end Tim Tebow. Apparently that extends to inside the Jags building. In a recent segment of Get Up, Jeff Darlington reported that there is some serious disagreement within the building about the signing of former Broncos QB turned Mets minor leaguer Tim Tebow. Quote, there are coaches on that staff that don't want to see it happening, quote, Darlington said. Quote, there are also some who are saying that it's not that big of a deal. He's probably not going to be on the roster week one, to which, a lot of people would say, why not do it? Why do it at all, right? End quote. Why do it at all? This is what I'm saying exactly is, why the hell would you bring Tim Tebow in? You're basically just doing a solid for Tim Tebow. And here's the deal, man, is that this is Trevor Lawrence's team. This is an added distraction. There's no reason to bring Tim Tebow in. It does not help the team at all. There is not a non-zero chance that he can play, right? But there is a chance, of course, stranger things have happened. But I seriously doubt this guy's ability right now. And sure, could he be more competitive in this tight end room because there's not a lot of good players? Yes, but at least the guys that they're going to have in there have some experience right now playing tight end. Tim Tebow has none. This is clearly just a move by Urban Meyer. Like he's always trying to do is just kind of like recreate some of what he was doing in college. It's really what it feels like. It feels like what he's been doing for a while now. But right now at tight end, they've got Chris Mannertz, Luke Farrell, Tyler Davis, James O'Shaughnessy, and Ben Ellefson. Now, here, those are guys who they've listed right now at this point in time on the roster, right? This is kind of just who they have listed. I'm on Our Lads. This is who they have listed. Sure, is he a bit more competitive at that position right now than a lot of guys are? Yes. Yes. Does that mean he should be on a team? No. Absolutely not. There is no reason for Tim Tebow to be out here. So I just find this story about, you know, everything that's happened today, it's weird. I feel like we're back in the mid-2000s now, but so much going on with these quarterbacks from that time period. And Tim Tebow being on a roster would absolutely shock me. There's really no need for it. And it's just kind of, look, if I'm a free agent tight end right now, I'm pretty frustrated, right? I'm pretty frustrated with this entire situation as a whole. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will discuss, you know, some of the other guys who are the seventh round picks, a couple of them, who were drafted from the Big 12 Conference. We'll discuss them next, but first, a word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You guys know the deal. Go to BetOnline.ag today to find lines for NBA, NHL, MLB, the Preakness, which apparently Medina Spirit is going to be allowed to run him, which is absolutely bizarre. If he wins it, that will be very, very awkward, very weird moving forward. I digress. Reality television shows you can bet on. There's so much available at betonline.ag. I encourage you all to go check it out today. If you guys go there, sign up, use that promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. You'll receive a 50% deposit bonus at betonline.ag. Do that today. All right, let's discuss it, guys. Some of the players that were drafted in the seventh round. I'll take go through a few of them today and save the rest of them for a later point in time. But we'll start in the seventh round. And the first guy taken was Wyatt Hubert, defensive end. Now, Wyatt Hubert, this is the analysis they say here, is very good two-point stance, playing with his hand in the dirt and reducing the inside. He is a disruptive run defender. He is best at slipping blocks and shooting gaps. He's strong enough to set the edge. He has active hands. He does a nice job of setting up his inside move and rushing the passer. So Wyatt Hubert, 6'3", 258, mean kid, in my opinion. He is going to be going to the Cincinnati Bengals. Once again, they need all the help they can get. Wyatt Hubert's going to have a tough time. Well, not a tough time making the roster, but have to fight for a roster spot, right, as a seven-rounder. But I think it's a spot where he believed he was going to be picked much higher. It did not materialize like that for him. So obviously it's tough, but he's in the fight to make that roster. I like what I saw from Wyatt Hubert as well at the Senior Bowl, so I think he has a good time, or a tough time. Not, I think he's had a real good chance of making that roster. This one's interesting. Jack Anderson picked number 236 to the Bills. Anderson is a fundamentally sound run blocker who gets into position and covers his assignments. Doesn't have a great change of direction, but his punch, hand placement, and effort tend to all bail him out in pass protection. Playing at the center of the week of the Senior Bowl, you know, he's improved a lot. So I think Jack Anderson is a guy that fits in well at Buffalo. We talked to him yesterday on Big 12 Today. Sounds like they're having him work at both guard spots and at center, so I think that versatility helps him. I like his chances to make this team a lot. I like them more than I like Wyatt Hubert's in Cincinnati. I really do think they want to keep Jack Anderson. I think it's a late-round steal for them. I think it's somebody who definitely should have been taken higher. But I do like his chances. I do think it's a pretty interesting fit for him and for a guy who really loved a player like Richie Incognito, who's no longer there, but loved a guy like Richie Incognito. It's a very interesting situation. Last guy we'll do, just taking three today just because of time constraints, is William Bradley King. So William Bradley King is a pass rusher, outside linebacker from Baylor. I think Matt Rule and Dave Aranda showed him clips of, he told us one day, Julius Peppers, kind of who, you know, he wanted to be. He's light and he plays a good pad level, keeps his hands inside and has the upper body strength to fight off blockers. You know, people loved his performance in the Senior Bowl. I didn't love it as much. You know, kind of a bit more, you know, I'm not saying I'm the know-it-all football guy, but I wasn't in love with William Bradley King's performance as much as many other people were. And if you look at the Washington football depth chart right now, they have so much talent at those positions. That's what makes it such a interesting spot for him, is if you think about all the guys that they have rushing the passer right now. I mean, think about the their defensive end spots, right? Linebacker, right? Montez Sweat, James Smith Williams, Daniel Wise, William Bradley King. They got a chance to be, you know, make an impact there. But they've got so many guys up front with Hill and Allen and Payne and Sweat. Jamin Davis obviously just got drafted, that I don't know if they need a whole lot of help with those positions. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he makes a team, but it's going to be an uphill climb with how much talent they've got there in D.C. All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at LOBig12 and at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, please stay safe.